Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
I'll try to use my phone, but I'm really, really excited to be here tonight, and I'm going to make us do something. I'm going to make us move. I'm going to make everybody from the back to come to the front, like fill the seats in front, because we are family. We are family, and every time we go to the movie theater or any kind of show, we want to sit in the best spot at the front to see everything that's happening. Now, I don't want you to sit at the front to see favor. I want you to see Jesus. Right? He's the performer tonight. It's not me. It's not me that I want you to see, but I feel like there's something about sitting in close community and have that sense of family, because I'm trusting God that He's going to move tonight, and you may just need to grab somebody's hand and prophesy over them. Because every time you give God an invitation, be rest assured that He's really going to come in to show out and show in. Right? And all through the past 2 weeks of prepping my message, the only thing I've done is say, Holy Spirit, I need you to come and to have your way, because I really cannot do this without you. You know, the Bible talks about we don't speak according to the words of men's wisdom or the wisdom of the world or the eloquence of our intelligence, but we speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do tonight, that as you listen to Favor speak, ultimately the person that you're going to hear is the voice of God speaking to you in your individual circumstance and where you're at in your relationship with Him. Now I'm going to warn you though. Don't let my convictions become your obligation, because your assignment is different. You have a different assignment. You're called to a different group of people. You're in a different place in your life with God. So as I share my testimonies and my walk with the Lord in the place of prayer over the past 12 years, I don't want you to go to God and say, I want to pray like her. You want to pray like the person, the man and the woman that God has called you to be. I'm praying that when you listen to me, you will be empowered. You will be empowered to walk your own journey. You will be empowered to live your own life with the Lord. Because what happens in a corporate place is a demonstration of what happens in your private life. I can't bring to this community what is not happening in my bedroom. Right? So we're going to get this, and we will let the Holy Spirit have His way. I just want you to raise your hand and ask something from the Lord tonight. What do you want God to do for you? What is it that you want to contend for in the place of prayer? What is it that as you walk out of this place, you want to be rest assured that the testimony is secured in the place of prayer? And I come in agreement with you tonight in the name of Jesus, that the Bible says when two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, His presence is there, and whatever they decree upon the face of the earth, He, God, will establish it in heaven. So I agree with you that whatever we touch in agreement concerning your life and wherever you're at tonight, that God will establish it unto you in heaven, and what you will see is His goodness. So Father, we say thank you, because we know that you're able to do more than we can even ask or think of you tonight. Holy Spirit, I say come and rest on every single person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at the book of Acts tonight. First of all, I want to highlight a few things about prayer. Now, I was having this conversation with Pastor Nathan, and we agreed that prayer is the number one gathering in the Christian faith that has the least number of attendance. Because people feel like prayer is boring. It's not supposed to be boring. Now, the atmosphere that you experience with God is the one that you create. Right? So if it's boring, it's because you brought boredom into your relationship with God. Ouch. So prayer is not boring. Number one, prayer is not boring. Number two, people feel that prayer is an option. It is not an option. It is the option. It is a priority. You have to make it a priority. You cannot put prayer in the category of A, B, C, D, and then you choose. You have to know that it is the number one thing that God expects you to do in the midst of crisis. It is a way you react and respond to circumstances, whether good or bad. beautiful or ugly. So prayer is something that God expects. It's how God expects you to respond to whatever you're going through in your life. You know, I was thinking about when we think of invitations to weddings and birthday parties and fancy events, you get a pretty looking invitation. Some people in our church were attending a wedding yesterday. I bet the invitation was really cute, right? Sometimes you look at somebody's wedding invitation and you dream. As a single woman, you probably think like, oh man, when am I going to make one and invite other people? But this is the thing about God. When you get an invitation from God, it looks chaotic. It's not pretty. It's messy. But now, how you enjoy the party is the way you choose to walk into it. Sometimes the beauty and the prettiness of everything that you do with God is after the fact, when you fought the battle consistently. That's when you get to wear the nice dress and show up party. You don't party before the party with God. You party after the party, after the battle. So you want the kind of a life that you can create the atmosphere where God can move in your life. So you have to know that prayer is not an option. It's a priority, because when you make something that is about the Lord a priority, you are His priority. The enemy cannot really get you to the back, because you have said, God, no matter how I feel and no matter what I see around me, I choose to pray. I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. For me, my prayer journey began with the Lord based on my family background, right? I grew up in a religious family, but not in a family that was saved. And now I'm not going to tell my entire story, because on Mother's Day, I got to preach and I shared my story. So you can go listen to the podcast. But all of that detail you will listen to in the podcast if you haven't listened to it already is the reason why I have the life that I have. I realized so many things were going on in my family that were not right. And everything that I watched everybody did was making things worse than they already were. And I wanted something different. Because you cannot expect a different result and yet you wake up every day and you do the same thing. It doesn't work like that. And at the age of 17, I made a decision. Nobody taught me how to pray. Now, the only way you learn how to pray is to start praying. So just in case you're wondering, like, how am I going to study? Just start praying. Just start praying. And in a minute, when we get into the scriptures, I'm going to show you how you can start praying the word of God if you have no clue how to start fighting the battles and contending for the promises of God for your life. So I started praying. I would stay in my bedroom for hours and just pray, and my grandma would not understand. She would be so upset because she's expecting me to come out and try to be like, oh, what are we eating today? Or what are we doing? I did not care. Like, nothing happens until I've had enough of my time with the Lord, because I knew my family was chaotic and I did not want to grow up in chaos. Oh, I did not want to get to this point where I'm at right now and my life looks very far from the God that I talk about. Have you ever walked at a doctor's office and you look worse than the patient? That's literally how some of us are living as Christians. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. But it wasn't meant to be like that. So I began praying and seeking the Lord. And I cried out to God. I said, I acknowledge the things that my family was going through. And I know that some of those things were not things that God had purposed, but there were choices that people had made. And one of my things was, God, you have to help me choose right. You have to help me choose right. You have to help me make decisions that will honor you. I wanted to glorify you in whatever I did with my life, whether it's choosing a career path or choosing a degree major, whatever it is, from marriage, whatever it is that I was going to live on this earth doing, God, I wanted to make sure that it was right. And this is the thing. Every prosperity or fruitfulness in your life is going to come from a place of intimacy with God. You cannot bring to the world an experience that you do not have with Him. Or you will be bringing an experience that you're having with the devil. Right? So I started praying. And God would show me dreams and show me things. I had no frame of reference for what I was doing. And I believe that it was more than just me going to church. I had to do it right where I was, in the midst of all the things that I was going through. And I want us to look at the scripture. Now, I said all of that to give you a background of the fact that tonight we're focusing on corporate prayer, but corporate success does not happen if you're not having individual or personal success. You have to be succeeding. You have to be working in victory as an individual before you think you can ever help anybody else in a corporate environment to succeed. Now, so I can look at what people do in public and I'll tell you exactly what their private life is like. Because for me, my personal decision with God is anything, any prayer request that enters my bedroom dies. When I walk out of my bedroom, I walk out with testimonies because that's what I want to bring to my community, right? So we're going to look at what that looked like in the book of Acts. So real quick, let's look at Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to just give you a few points to take home and start fighting your battles, because every time God makes a promise, there's going to be a battle over the promise. I wish I could tell you you don't have a battle. You really do have a battle in your life. That's why you're here tonight, right? Because you want to know how to walk in victory. Okay, so Acts chapter 12. Real quick, sorry, guys. Okay, we have it on the screen. I'm going to try to read it on my phone too. So Acts chapter 12 from verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some people from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now somebody just died. Why do we start the scripture like that? And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Now, that was the Passover. And I want you to pay attention to the fact that the Bible said the Passover. And I'll tell you why it mentioned in that particular scripture that it was during the Passover. Because he had no business talking about the Passover really in the New Testament. Especially in the context of where they're at. It says, so when he had arrested him to put him in prison and delivered him to false courts of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Now it's been said another time. So he was arrested during the Passover and he was going to stay imprisoned until after Passover. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, but Peter was therefore kept in prison. When Peter was therefore kept in prison, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer was offered by the church. Endless prayer was offered by the church. Now, I want you to understand something, that the church is not just the building. The church is you. The church is me. The church is you and I. Now, there were a group of people that stood in the gap for Peter and begin to understand and begin to intercede. So the first point I'm going to talk to you about with reference to what we just read is that we are called to shift atmospheres. You are called to shift things around. Somebody has just been killed, and because it pleased the enemy that the church was being destroyed, the enemy even went further to make sure that one of the apostles was in prison. Now, he was going to be put in jail to be tried later, and his trial was going to result to another execution. And there were a people that said, not under my watch. Not under our watch's will, the enemy killed one of us. Now, they could have sat and whined, right? They could have sat and murmured at God, that God, how can a people that serve you be killed? And sometimes in the midst of your circumstance, that's what you're thinking. God, I show up on Sunday, every Sunday, and I serve as an usher. God, I sing in the choir or lead the worship team. God, I'm the pastor of the church, and everybody else's life look better than I am, better than mine. That could have been their testimony, but they said, we will give constant prayer. And that what that meant was that they had intense conviction about what God was able to do for Peter. Now, what is a matter of urgency in your life and in your community? I don't know what time you are living in. I'm living in a time where we have to wake up every day and know that the devil will never be for you. So you want to keep God on your side. You want to keep God on your side. And the church constantly prayed for him. And verse 6 says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. How can you sleep in prison if you're not confident that there are people who are awake on your behalf? Right? How can you sleep? He's been chained. Mind you, the Bible said he's been chained and different guards were in different positions. And mind you, let me tell you, this is what I think. If the enemy, if you will use an AK-47 to kill a fly, it means you have recognized that fly has a destiny. Because Herod did not need to do all of that. Somewhere in his mind, he knew there was a possibility this man would get out of this place. So he wanted to cover all his bases, and that's what the enemy thinks. He knows that there is a possibility, and you know why? Because the enemy is aware of the authority of the blood of Jesus. That's why he's coming at you the way he's doing. He was chained, and this is one thing, the Passover thing. So if you read in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible talks about the Passover. The Passover was when the Israelites were asked by God to kill a lamb, to make a sacrifice and put the blood on their door. And the purpose of it was that the angel of death was going to come, and every house, every doorpost that had the blood of that lamb was going to not experience death. So which means you cannot kill somebody that is under the authority of the blood of Jesus. He could not be killed during Passover. You cannot be killed because your life is under the authority of the blood. But you have to know what you have access to and begin to work in it. God set the devil up for failure. I mean, he's always failed. It happened during Passover, and even Herod understood you don't have the ability to kill anything that is under covenant. Ouch, devil. They had to wait after Passover. Now, this is the amazing thing about the timing of God. Between Passover and after, so much miracle was going to happen in between. That felt like when Black Panther came back. Right? So much miracle was going to happen. It was an opportunity for the church to shift the atmosphere. It was an opportunity for the church to declare the power of the word of God. It was an opportunity for the church to stand in the gap and tell Herod, let us remind you, you are not king over our lives. And so you can that we were going to have in this situation. He was supposed to be brought after Passover. And when Herod was about to bring him out, the night before, he was bound in chains and sleeping. And the guards were before the door, were keeping the prison. And verse 7 says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by the door. An angel of the Lord stood by the door. And if you read that verse of scripture, it tells you how that happened. It said, suddenly. Now, let me talk to you. Now, we are Christians called by the power and the authority of God, marked by the blood of Jesus to shift atmosphere. When you walk into a circumstance, it shouldn't be the way you met it. If it's not in alignment with the purposes of God, God allows you to see it is because he knows you have the ability to change it. And that's what we are called to do. That's what we come to church on Sundays to do, so that we can know what it's like to be the church outside. We can know what it means to be a people of God that live in the city of man, but their destinies are not defined by the city of man or by the men of the city. Right? And when people gather and begin to pray over an impossible situation, guess what happened? What would have taken you 10 years to accomplish, you begin to accomplish it in 10 minutes. That's what suddenly looked like. For some of us, we've been dealing with very long-standing issues in our lives. What you need is to pick up your phone, or tonight, as you're listening to me, ask God, who is somebody that you want me to have as a prayer partner? Because there's certain battles in your life, you cannot win them alone. There's certain things you're going through in life that you need somebody else to come alongside you. That probably has a revelation of what you're going through that you haven't had yet. So based on the revelation they have, they can speak into your circumstance. And that's what prayer does. Prayer gives you access to revelation and different dimensions of the warfare that you're involved in. That's the power of corporate prayer. That what was supposed to happen at a certain time can be accelerated. The church is having too many successful enemies. We shouldn't. Because this is what this church did. They decided that their enemy was not going to be successful. They needed it to happen suddenly. You're going to get that breakthrough suddenly. When there are people that said, endlessly we will pray. With intense conviction, we're going to pray. We're going to believe that your home can be restored. We're going to believe that cancer cannot survive in our midst. We're going to believe that the people in our church cannot be homeless. We're going to believe that career paths are going to be straightened. We're going to believe that there will be stability, that generational curses will be broken, and that we begin to walk in generational favor. Suddenly, what has taken your family 75 generations to fix, suddenly in 2018, it happened because of people gathered and said, we will pray. We will pray. And verse 7 says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, get yourself and tie your sandals. And so he did, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought it was a vision. Because it happened suddenly. Because it happened so quickly. Suddenly it happened. Now, I just got back from Cameroon 2 months ago. And when I came back, every time I go to Africa, my heart is just so broken. Because I see a people that have so much potential. I see a people that spend 7 days of their week in church. And sometimes I ask them, like, how do you guys even do jobs when you're always in church? I mean, these are people who have dedicated their lives to the Lord, but yet their lives are not reflecting the God that they're talking about. So every time I come back, my heart is so broken. I would spend time just praying and asking the Lord and seeking God. God, what can we do? What is something? What are the strategies of heaven? What is it that you want to release upon the continent of Africa? What is it that is on your heart for Cameroon, God? What is breaking your heart? And I felt in July, God was like, I should do. So I have a prayer. Okay, I love praying alone. Trust me, I am an introvert. Don't mind. I love my space. Like, I love to be in my room. I need a schedule to sit in my living room. That's how much I love my private space, right? So I love praying alone, but I understand the power of one can chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. So I have by choice and accountability brought people into my life that we spend time weekly. So every Saturday I have a group of women that we come together for an hour and just seek the Lord, not for ourselves. It's an intercessory group. So we seek the Lord for the nations. We seek the Lord for our churches. We cover people in prayer, and God will show us things. And so in July, the Lord put on my heart that call a 7 days fast. And the only thing you're going to do during this fast is just praise and worship. And in my heart, I'm like, God, you know, I want to tell you everything that is going on and how much I want you to change things. And he was like, I need you to do a prayer, praise and worship. That is a prayer that changes everything. Sometimes that's all you need to do. So I went on with this woman. We're doing praise and worship for 7 days, twice a day. We get together on the phone in the morning and pray, and at night we get together and pray. So on the last day of this fast, we were praying at 7 p.m. in the evening. And the prayer call ended. But towards the end of the prayer call, I started feeling a sense of I needed to press in more. Now, the time I spent with them gave the Holy Spirit the opportunity to put a nudging in my spirit, right? Gave the Holy Spirit the opportunity to come in and share something with me, because that is what intimacy does. God says, I will not do anything without revealing it to my prophets. Now, I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but everybody in the house has a measure of ability to prophesy by their faith, right? Every Christian. So I had this nudging in my heart that I needed, when we get off that call, my own prayer time wasn't over and I needed to press in more. So I went in and just praying in the spirit. I kept contending in the spirit, and the only words that came out of my mouth in English were the words, my family should dwell in health and safety. My family should dwell in health and safety. And I kept going on. Now my brain was going in so many places. Was anyone in my family sick? Of course, I had an uncle who is diabetic and he's been in and out of the hospital. But the Holy Spirit gave me a check like it wasn't him. But just keep declaring that over your family. And I did that for a few minutes and I left it. 2 days later, I found out at that same time I was doing that, my grandmother almost died. At that same time in New York City, and she's in Cameroon. These are the suddenly, this is how you shift atmospheres. If I wasn't contending, if I was not in that prayer call with those group of women at that time, the call I would have received was not a testimony of the fact that she was doing well, was that she's dead. You can't let the devil make a clown out of you. Like, you can't. He's not fair. And he's never going to be. And I called my grandma, and when they told me, I didn't say anything. So I just told her about a week ago. Then she told me the story and said I was rushed to the hospital and I didn't even know where I was. And I told her, I said, Jesus saved you, because that same time, and you've read those scriptures in the Bible where they say Jesus prayed for somebody, and about that same time. And we're living in the dispensation where God wants us to live out this Bible. You are the Bible that some people are going to read. Somebody's ability to come from a place of being a skeptic, or from coming to a place of being somebody who doesn't believe that God exists at all, or to the place where they believe that God really is real and he is powerful and he can change their life, depends on how you live your life. That God can trust you. That instead of getting on the phone and having conversations and meditating on everything that the enemy is doing, you can get on the phone and begin to declare the power of the word of God over a circumstance that may have nothing to do with you. My grandmother's life was spared that day because in the place of prayer, a people who did not even know her were interceding for families. And then the Holy Spirit told me specifically, go after health and safety for your family. That's the kind of God you and I serve. Now we have the ability to release angels. Suddenly an angel is released from heaven because there's somebody who refused to accept what the enemy is doing. Now I'm not saying live in denial, but I'm saying do not align yourself with the devil. I'm not refusing that the things that are going on in our lives are really intense. But that's why you have to also be intense. People always say, favor, your life is so intense. Like, it's so intense. Okay, come and take my assignment for a day and then you understand. Let me give you what I'm going through for 2 seconds. And then you figure out how intense your life will become. We're intense because the devil is intense. And we have to be intentional about how we go after God in the place of prayer. Yes, we want miracles, but he wants you to be there, to be steadfast, that he can trust you with somebody's life. The destiny of my family is dependent on me being the kind of priest and king that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. That's who you are, a priest and a king in New York City. And now the priest will bring the sacrifice before the Lord and say, God, I worship you, I give you praise, I give you honor. And then the king in you begin to decree what the Bible says about that situation. And this is the thing I've told the enemy. As long as I walk in this path as a priest in the house of God, you will not touch my family. You will not touch my church. Mind you, they were interceding for an apostle that was a pastor in the house. There's a matter of urgency. I don't know what is urgent to you, but as for me and my household, we will continue to kick the devil out. As for me and my household, we will continue to live in a realm of suddenness. We will continue to shift atmospheres. That God will not hide anything from you, because he can trust you to set your face as a flint before the Lord. That you can glimpse at the devil, but you can gaze at God. Because this is how I look at it. Okay, that person is sick, but there's divine healing. You glimpse at your situation, you gaze into the face of your God in prayer. Right? We're going to go back to that scripture, and I will tell you about the authority that you carry. Sometimes people, my family will say, oh, Jesus is in control, but he's inviting you to be in control too. Because we feel so, it's so safe to say, oh, somebody tells you something serious is happening to them and you tell them the Lord is in control. The reason why the Lord allowed them to tell you is because he wants you to step in so that he can use you to be in control. So you don't just tell people God is in control. He gave you control too. I mean, not the kind of control that you take your life from, but the kind of control that you get to execute his authority on the earth. Right? Stop having successful enemies, people. So we're going to go back to that scripture. Sorry, this is the whole point. You never use your phone. You do not use your phone to preach next time. Thou shalt buy a good Bible. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision, he didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first gate, the second guard post, and came to the iron gate leading into the city. Now, this is a man of God entering the city of men. And this opened for them, and this gate opened for them by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left. Suddenly again. He kept saying suddenly, suddenly for a reason. Now when God is beginning to sound redundant, he wants you to get the point. And it's because you didn't get it yet the first time. So he said it again. And for some of us, we need to go back and begin to say, what are the things that God has been nudging in my heart and I'm ignoring? Because he's not a redundant God. If he chooses to be one, it means he really needs you to sit up. So Peter finally, verse 11, Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said, the Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. They shifted the atmosphere, and suddenly what they had planned to do all of a sudden turned around. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary. Now, this is one thing, we have small groups in our church. At this point in time, with what was happening in the book of Acts, the last thing anybody was going to do was go to a church building like this. Because the church is the people. This building is powerless without the power that you carry. This building is void of any kind of testimony whatsoever until the people that carry the anointing and the glory of God walk into it. Then it becomes a building that can produce anything worth of value. Right? He went into the house. They were praying for him in a house because they couldn't go to church at that time. So what happens on Sunday doesn't end on Sunday. God is too big to be contained in a two-hour service. God is too big to be confined to a particular location. Wherever you are, wherever you're situated, these people did not need to have access to the synagogue at this point, because I think at this point they had already shut down the synagogue and nobody could get, or they were scared for their lives. I don't know what the reasons were, but they found a home where they gather. Now, I don't know what is happening to everybody's small group, but when you all gather for your small group, there better be power oozing out of whatever you're doing. Power to change circumstances. Power to rewrite history. Power to turn things around for families. Power to give us the ability to encounter God in this house as a church. That is what is supposed to be happening in our small groups. That is the reason why we felt like it's too little to have God just on Sundays. We want to have church every single day of the week. I want to be the church tomorrow. I want to be the church on Tuesday, even when I don't feel like it. I want to be the church on Wednesday when you're sitting in the subway with all the people that don't smell like you. You still want to be church, right? You still want to be church because the church is not this thing that we're doing. The church is the two or three that gathers and said, we will not sit and begin to give credit to the enemy. We're crediting so much into the enemy's accounts. Now you need to go back and start withdrawing that. They gathered in Mary's house. Sorry, my phone just went out again. In verse 12, he said, when he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. Instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter is standing at the door. You're out of your mind. When God does it so quick, you run back into the house and you'll be like, did it really happen? You know, you're believing God for that money, right? And then all of a sudden, ding, you get this notification that somebody just credited into your account. Like, you're like, what? And you're going through, like, checking, calling everybody, making sure. And you want to just use the money real quick so that the person doesn't change their mind. Because in your head, it's like, it just happens so quick. This is what they've been praying for. They believed it was going to happen, but they didn't think it was going to happen that fast. But that's how fast God wants to move on our behalf. When we gather and we begin to pray, even when we don't feel like it and we don't see like the circumstances going to change, God starts moving in a way that we cannot even catch up with Him. At this point, they couldn't catch up with God. Because no matter if the door of this church is shut down, there's still a church out there that's going on. Because the church is the community that gathers and begins to release the agenda of heaven upon the face of the earth. That was the kind of church they were running. So they were like, you're out of your mind. They said, when she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Now, this is the thing where I used to ask God and be like, we read so much in the book of Acts how angels are moving, and even Daniel encountered angels. So I'm like, God, how come we're not seeing angels? I mean, how come are we not having the activity of angels anymore in the church? But the angels were released on assignment when people began to speak the will of God. This is the authority. Now, your responsibility as a son and a daughter of God is to execute the authority of God that you carry. Angels are so idle in heaven because we're not praying. Or we give up too quickly. They could have given up. They could have been bought into the idea that because this other person was already killed, chances are the other person is going to be killed. Right? But they choose to execute their authority regardless of what things look like in the realm of the natural, because they know that there is an angel that is assigned to Peter's destiny, and the responsibility of the church is to keep angels working. The Bible says they are the ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Who are the heirs of salvation? You sitting right in front of me. I am an heir to salvation. My angels better not be sitting idle because I got work for them to do. I need you to go to Cameroon and shut the devil up. I need you to go to my people and bring freedom. So your responsibility is to wake up and know that there is an angel assigned to your life. And when you open your mouth and begin to speak, they got work to do. They cannot sit down at your command. They will be disobeying you and they will get in trouble. It's the truth. Because this is how the realm, God is not complicated. We complicate things. Because this is how I live it. I just know there is an angel assigned to my life and he or she better be working. Right? You better be protecting me when I go to work. You better be watching over my family. Do exactly what I tell you now. My housemates that have lived with me will tell you everybody gets sick. I don't. Because I tell my body, you do what I tell you to do. And that is the reason why I can look at another person and say, be healed. Because I'm walking in victory of divine health. That's why you can tell somebody, I'm standing in agreement with you in that situation. They believe you because they know you're walking in victory. They've heard your testimonies before. Now the angel, they thought it was his angel because they knew that there was an angel on assignment over his life. And they expected the angel to move when they began to pray. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to be quiet, to quiet down, and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. He told them how the Lord has led him out of prison. The authority that you carry releases miracles. Now, that was a miracle. If you read the rest of that chapter, the Bible says when Herod discovered Peter was no longer in prison, there was so much commotion. Because how is it even possible that you came out of that circumstance? How is it even possible that somebody else died today and it wasn't you? How is it even possible that there are levels of education or levels of breakthrough that your family has not experienced, but you are experiencing? How is it even possible? Because where the enemy thought he's kept your family, the Lord said not under his watch. He was going to take one person out and anoint them, or a group of people that will be consistent and say, God, you are God no matter what. You are faithful no matter what. We will trust you no matter what. We will believe no matter what. We will pray no matter what. It is not dependent on how you feel. It is not dependent on the experiences that you've had. It is dependent on whatever God has said and what God is able to do. The anointing is already on your life. The authority has already been given to you. What are you waiting for? We are living at a time where the enemy is destroying lives and nations and cities. We cannot be sleeping as a church. It is time to wake up. It is time to wake up. It is time to arise and begin to walk in our godly authority. It is time to look at your family and say, I know you all have gone through this for so long, but God has anointed me to preach deliverance. God has anointed me to bring deliverance to my family. It is time to say no more poverty. Now, some of you have watched my social media. I've been on this workout journey, and you're probably wondering why. I'm going to tell you guys so you can start your own, because what I want it to be so practical. I don't want to sound like I'm doing something that is unattainable. It's taken me 12 years to get this. And I'll tell you, God doesn't hide anything from me. My sister would have died 2 years ago. I woke up in the morning at 5 a.m., still on a prayer call. I was praying and I heard God said to me, send the Holy Spirit to a place you cannot go to. That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And I told the ladies on the call, I'm like, this sounds weird, but we all need to send the Holy Spirit to a place we cannot get to. So we just started praying in the Spirit. We could not stop. We went in for over an hour. At some point, I have to be like, God, forget this. I need to go back to sleep. We literally prayed until I fell asleep. And then when I got up, my sister called me. She had just been involved in an accident. Those prayers saved her life. She's alive, walking in the fullness of what God has called her to do, because there were a people that stood in the gap and said, we do not understand why the Lord is sending us or leading us to pray in this particular direction. Now, guys, you can't make these things up, because the people I'm telling you about are people who are alive and living out the fullness of their purpose. And do you know that so many people's lives are dependent on you? Just taking 5 minutes a day. And this is my personal conviction with God. This is what the Lord told me. Favor, for every minute that you pray, I put you 10 years ahead of a lot of people. Now, that was my motivation. Come on, now, 1 minute equals to 10 years? I want to pray for a whole day. I want to pray. And I started this workout journey because when I came back from Cameroon, I felt like God was pushing me into prayer in a whole new level. Now, people say when you turn 30, your body acts different. Now, I'm not 30 yet, but I'm really close. And I'm beginning to feel that testimony coming to pass. Like, my body is just tired, like really tired. And I'm sitting like, okay, God, what are we going to do? Then I had a dream. And when I got up from that dream, I was like, gym, here we come. Because basically in the dream, I had to do something that required physical stamina and I didn't have it. Now, there are people who are skinny fat. So don't think I'm skinny. I'm fat on the inside. Right? So I started this workout journey because of my prayer life. I realized there were times where I needed to be in the presence of God, but I couldn't because physically I was just tired. Mentally, I was tired. So I was like, okay, I need to get to the gym. And I started going to the gym. And guess what? My day begins at 3 a.m. Now, that may not be for you. But I literally am everything that happens between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. in my neighborhood, I know. Because I'm up. It's been 3 weeks, at least 3 to 4 days a week for the past 3 weeks, I'm up every 3 a.m. Because I want to hear what God has to say. I am desperate. I'm desperate to come to a community like this and we can encounter God together because I choose to obey him in my private space. I'm desperate to see what God can do with our lives together as a church. I'm desperate to come to a garden like this and see people under the power of God's anointing, lives be healed just by worshiping. I'm desperate to see that kind of a thing. I'm desperate to walk in our church every day and just hear testimonies of what God is doing because we refuse not to relent our efforts. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you as an individual, but we are supposed to be a church that carries and demonstrates power. We are supposed to shift atmospheres. We're supposed to create atmospheres for suddenly to happen where angels can move on our behalf, and we're supposed to execute the authority of heaven upon the face of the earth because God has got us. So now I want you to rise on your feet. I don't know what that looks like for you. You know, somebody told me something was, they say, what cannot be taught can be caught. I couldn't teach you everything I know. But you can catch it. You can catch it because the anointing is all over the room. And the anointing is not for, it's not just for favor. It's not about favor. It's about God and what He wants to do in your life. It's about God and what He wants to do in our community. Prayer and fasting is coming up. Maybe for you, that's your start. That's how you're going to begin, but that's not where you should end. Whether your church is fasting or praying or not, you're supposed to be doing it as an individual. So that when we bring it into the public space, we can experience God and really just release power over the city. We're not supposed to allow the city to drown us. We're supposed to drown the city in the power and the presence of God. And you just begin to ask God and say, God, release upon me the spirit of intercession, the ability to wait in your presence. The ability to wait in your presence, to wait on you, the ability to bring your power upon the earth, upon our congregation. God, I want to see miracles. I don't know about you, but I want to see miracles. I want to see testimonies. For some of you, you have to just even say, God, forgive me. Because there are times when God has nudged on your heart for you to pray and for you to commit yourself with just a few minutes of prayer and you didn't do it because it felt like it was boring. Now I want to tell you that there's an anointing on your life to not make prayer boring. Father God, we just love you. Lord, we ask you for more. We ask you for more. We ask you for more. More of your presence, more of your power, more of your glory. We ask you to sit on us. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel, God. There are days where you will not feel like praying, but just go ahead and do it anyways. Just say, God, let that spirit, let that anointing, let that glory, let that power, let that presence fall on me right now. Father, that is what we need tonight. I'm standing in agreement. God, we're standing in agreement as a church that we will not be a powerless church. That we will not be a powerless church. That we will be the church that will arise and contend for marriages. We will be the church that will arise and contend for families. We will be the church that will arise and contend to seek for the good of this city. So, Father, we pray tonight that let your presence fall on this place. Let us become conduits of your glory. Let us become conduits of your presence. That we will not only be a people that trust you, but we will be a people that you trust. That you trust with the agenda of heaven. And so God, for every need that is in this room tonight, I ask you to come and have your way. Come and have your way, Jesus. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit, in every life, whatever our desires are. We invite you. We invite you, Jesus. We say, take preeminence tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing over everyone under the sound of my voice, that whatever you've done in their lives tonight, the enemy will not steal it from them in the name of Jesus. I seal the testimony of what you have done tonight with the blood of Jesus. I take authority over every situation and say, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.